Welcome to the Shanty Sound Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Byrne, and to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Shanty Sound, I've started my very own podcast exploring one of my favourite topics, the healing power of music and sound. I'm a lifelong musician, and I've also been working extensively with sound therapy and sound healing for many years now. And I'm guessing that perhaps like me, you're here because you're also interested in all things to do with healing music and sound. Over the last 10 years, both through travelling and the internet, I've met some pretty awesome people, and I'm excited to get to know them even better through these interviews. I'm really interested in people and what draws them to begin sharing music and sound in a healing or therapeutic way, and in learning more about the healing and uplifting effects of immersing in sound and music. So if you do enjoy this podcast, I would love you to hit the subscribe button on whichever app you're listening on, and do feel free to leave a review or a comment. And you can also check out the show notes from this and every episode at shantysound.com.au/podcast. My guest on today's episode is Yilei Lau. She's a weaver of sound, intuitive, and facilitator of possibilities. Yilei is of Hong Kong Chinese descent and was born in London, UK. A spiritual awakening in her 30s dramatically changed Yilei's life path, where sound and energy medicine entered her world. With a background as an IT business analyst, this shift in consciousness enabled her to create a lighter way of living, and it sparked a thirst for wanting to know more. This intrepid explorer of consciousness now provides transformational experiences for those that are looking for a lighter way of living. Inspired by her teachers and her team of light, she has developed her own sound healing style and range of vocal alchemy classes and album releases. Yilei has been living in New Zealand since 2014 and provides a range of sessions, classes, and retreats that assist people to meet the choices they are looking for. Welcome to Shanty Sound. This is Yilei Lau.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi, it's wonderful to see you. How are you?
Good. Likewise, it's good to see you and connect in this way.
Absolutely. We were lucky enough to meet several years ago in America.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience.
It was. We might touch on that a bit later. Yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. But I'm really interested in getting to know all the guests that come on to our podcast. So I'd love to know about your background, a little bit about you, where you grew up and where you live now, and anything in between that you feel like sharing.
Okay, wow. I am a British-born Chinese. Some people call it BBC. So I was born in London many years ago. So my background has been very much like the typical Chinese family. My parents are from Hong Kong, and they went over to UK and they started whatever job they could do, and it was to take like the takeaway, and they went takeaway fish and chips. So that's been my background and upbringing, and they did the best they could, got me through uni, all that kind of stuff. So I actually went through a very, I guess, traditional route in that sense of a business degree. They wanted me to be an accountant, doctor, or lawyer, and I was like, really, surely there must be something else. But I went ahead anyway with that kind of model, and I ended up doing marketing at university. I was lucky enough to kind of fall into different jobs in London, but I just knew in the background that something was brewing, and so anything like healing or sound or spirituality just was not on my radar until 2007, which we can touch on later, but basically 2007 onwards I had a big spiritual awakening, if you were a big turnaround from becoming this business analyst. So I was working in IT, I became a business analyst and worked in broadcasting for many years.
Wow.
My path changed, And now in New Zealand. I've been in New Zealand now for 6 years. So having come from a logical, intellectual, grounded background, I've transitioned to this as woo as you can get, working in energy and sound. And it's like, if someone told me that when I was younger, I'd be like, I don't think so. But as life has it, as you know, it's just, there's a complete shift. I was like, I couldn't have planned that.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that thought about telling your younger self, you know, you're going to do this later, and just being like, nah.
So that's that was the overall theme of, I guess, the background of me. But
Wow. And so, okay, spiritual awakening 2007. Does that have something to do with how you came to the world of healing music and sound?
Yeah, I mean, it's popped up in different ways. Like, I always felt music obviously very enjoyable and soothing, and some songs you enjoy, and some songs you kind of, you know, it kind of suits the mood. But yeah, 2007 was, in terms of the awakening, it's more of a rude awakening. And I just knew, I guess, my spirit was calling me to go a different path. And it happened in a way where I found my boyfriend at the time was confused sexually. So that was a big wedge in my universe, because I knew for a long time. And then the shift was that he had to tell me, because it was just going on for too long. We've been together for 8 years. So that was a kind of break, a catalyst in my, and I now see that as a catalyst. It was a catalyst. And it was so strange, because during that same weekend, my auntie had committed suicide. So there's two catalytic events that happened, and some people call it like spiritual emergency. But now looking back, I can say that now in hindsight, it was my spirit calling me to walk a different path. And I just happened to choose, I knew that my spirit was choosing this way, because it was enough of a wedge for me to question everything. Mm. And so that's when I started questioning about this reality, about what I'm doing, I guess seeking answers. Like, I knew I was curious as a kid anyway, but I was starting to seek reasons. Why am I here? All that kind of stuff. And it's at that point I started to realize I was quite stressed. And then things like energy healing came into my life. So Reiki came into my life. So that's the beginning of, I guess, energy. And then lucky for me, the Reiki practitioner introduced me to a trainer who said, oh, you could do this for yourself. I was like, sign me up. And it was through him that he introduced me to lots of different ways of basically healing self. And it's just like reconnecting to self through energy, through, and then sound. So that was the one of the key things that was piqued my interest about this vocal toning. And we do om together, chanting. And it was like, wow, what's that? I had all these points of view about not being able to sing and speak up, because I guess the other story of mine is that I've been the quiet, obedient child, which is quite common, I guess, for a lot of people to conform, to not speak up. So through this journey, the voice healing for me became a thing. So I was kind of like a workshop junkie. Going on these different spiritual things. I would do like chanting, there'll be like channeling, or, and it was just so weird, because it would be challenging my intellectual mind.
Having
the VA, but my body was going, no, I really like that. And it felt great. My body felt great. My mind was going, are you crazy? This is silly. Doesn't make any sense. and so it had this conflict in me, but I knew that I had to try something else. Because like I tried, I guess, therapy at work, like it's called cognitive behavioral therapy, which I know worked for some people, but for me it was like it just wasn't creating waves. I wasn't really resonating with the practitioner, and Reiki came in. Reiki came into my life as if by magic.
that's wonderful, isn't it? The path we, you know, the paths we walk and the different directions we go. So it sounds like the focus on the voice really has been a big part of your focus, and I love hearing about people who have kind of broken through that shutdown feeling. Yeah, lots of people that I meet have experienced that. They've been, yeah, quiet as a child, or they felt they couldn't sing. And then somehow through this practice of voice work, which doesn't have to necessarily be singing, but it really opens up something in that throat chakra area. Is that something you've felt real resonance with?
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't know it's a thing. You don't know, I guess you don't know your differences until you meet and interact with other people. So I guess some through conversations and attending these different workshops, it became, and it's the awareness expanding, and then you have more awareness of yourself to go, oh, wow, I've always labeled myself as this shy, quiet, obedient person. And it was like, I was actually being shown, I don't have to be that anymore. Yeah. If I choose not to. And here are some amazing tools that I could use if I wanted to shift it. It wasn't like you said, it's like you don't have to be a singer.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to want to be a singer. And for me, it was like, I just really enjoyed the teacher's energy and just the space she was holding and the different people I met along the way that would just give me more tips or more tools, or basically whatever I was ready to receive. And it was just so magical to say, you know, you don't have to be perfect. And it was what I was finding through all these sessions was that there was a space of no judgment. Whereas I guess come from a background thinking like school and your peers and your family, there's a lot of judgment because we carry a lot of judgments about how you should or shouldn't be in the world. And you have to be a performer, or you have to be a speech therapist, or all these different levels of layers of judgment. But this other world, which I call it the other world, because at the time for me, it was quite separate.
Yeah.
That these people were in allowance and encouraging and inviting and inspiring. And I was like, wow, I've never experienced this before. So yeah, they took me places and spaces where I didn't realize my voice could go. So I would just be go along thinking, oh, I'm going to work on my voice. So, because that's the thing. So I was still coming from this intellectual space. And I went through several different ones, but there's one particular lady who really helped me connect. And I felt this connection in myself, in my body. And I felt this energy suddenly rise through my body. And she looked, she recognized this, and she said, it's okay, allow it, and just like keep going. And I just felt this voice come up through, it's almost like from the ground, from my feet, from the womb upwards. And it's almost like this other power came through my voice. And my intellectual mind was still going, who is that? But it was me doing this quite resonant sound. And then my teacher's looking at me, he's going, yay, look at you. I'm like, whoa, what's happening?
Wow.
So it's funny how these different parts, that ego, I guess some people call it, or the intellectual mind was still challenged, but my body was going, oh my gosh, freedom. And I felt this energy rise through, and it was so liberating. So I felt that energy, and that was my first taster of, I guess, my voice actually showing, me showing up. And I realized that, and different ways of saying it, which is what I do in my classes, it's not just about here, the vocal cords, it's about you and your entire being showing up and willing and being okay to be seen and heard without judgment. And she was providing that space of like, it's safe for me to show up and be seen and heard.
So amazing.
So yeah, that was quite a pivotal point.
And was that
voice journey for me?
Yeah. Was that still when you were in the UK?
So yeah, this is in the UK. That's probably about 2010, 20 something like that.
And
it happened again. It happened again, that sensation through my body. And so I'd been through lots of different spiritual, you know, class development classes and things. And that sensation happened again. Like I'd forgotten about it. It's like, wow, that was great. It was like, okay, now what? And it was like, on to the next workshop. A friend of mine said, oh, do you want to do a co-host a meditation? Let's do 12, 12, 12. The significant 2012 day. And it's like 12, 12, 12. Let's do it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then my body was going, no. I was like, okay. And then I kind of went, actually, I think I've changed my mind. I don't think I'll do it. And I just wanted to stay at home, because by then my intellectual mind was going, this is a load of BS. So that was still going on, going, you can't see these beings or blah, blah, blah. And it was quite loud. And it's like, I'm just going to stay home.
Yeah.
And so I stayed home watching YouTube or something and eating cake and having a cup of tea. Like, and I felt that energy kicking through my womb, by my body. And it just like, and I just remember my teacher, Amanda, saying, just allow it to come through, stand up and allow that energy to come through.
Yeah.
So I did, because I was in my flat on my own. Like, well, thankfully there was no other people. If I went to that event, I don't think I would have allowed myself to do that. And this barrage of sound and voice and what people, some people call language of light, came flooding through for 2 hours.
Wow.
And I allowed myself to just move my body, and this sound and voice, and just wanted to come out. And that I was like, wow. Okay. Yeah. What was that about? But I just felt like more of me showed up.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. I love that. That's amazing. I am interested to know more about this, the language of light. Is that something that's sort of stayed with you, or that you've developed over time?
Yeah, it's been interesting.
Just for people who might not know, could you talk a little bit about sort of what that is?
I call it language of light, or that's how I've known it to be called, a language of light, or light language, some people call it. And I've heard other people describe it as like glossolalia, or speaking in tongues, or what else, other descriptions. But for me, and this resonates more with me with how it sits well, it's like there's different energy streams of consciousness available to us. And I guess from an artistic point of view, there's always a expression of that energy. So an artist would paint that, or a dancer would dance in a certain way, or musicians would bring that through. For me, that energy, that light language, it's how I would bring that energy through in a language that is beyond our human earthly language. And it kind of touches people's soul, because it's almost bypasses that logical brain of word structure, but it sounds like a made up language. But when I've come across people and we've almost understood each other, or had similar dialects as well, so that it sounds like a made up language, or sounds like a elvish in Lord of the Rings or something like that, or the Klingon language. And it's like, wow, but there's a resonance or familiarity with it, and it can carry a lot of information, data, whatever, on this carrier wave. So I just feel like the expression of it is a carrier wave, and there's a lot of information on that.
Yes.
Or riding on that. So it can be very healing in terms of people remembering, like, oh, wow, I recognize that. So that's what light language is for me.
So beautiful. I know that you are really intuitive as well. Do you feel like when you do that, say if that came through for somebody that you were working with, do you sometimes like explain what your interpretation of it is to them, or is it just solely for them to feel into that?
It depends on the person. If they're new to it, then I might explain that I might be using my voice in this session. Yeah. And then normally after goes, oh, what did you say? Yeah. And it's like, oh, what was it for you? And then they will often come to that. And that's it. My friends, like, they all come to their own knowing.
Yeah.
I may offer suggestions if they require it, but I like leaving it as it is.
Yeah.
And maybe the essence of it, rather than trying to translate or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because I think the energy speaks for itself. And then the other person, the recipient, can make their own mind up of how they would like to receive that energy.
Yeah. Oh, so special. So you do a lot of work with the voice, but I know that you have instruments as well, and you do sound baths. What are your favorite instruments that you have?
Oh, golly. It's really difficult, because I feel like each, it's like an outfit, like you'll have a favorite for a time and then you're like, have a different one for a different one. At the moment, I'm enjoying the drum, which I was afraid of before, that like the shamanic drumming.
Mm-hmm.
that's quite powerful and it takes me into very different energy spaces. But I also love the harp. I've got a reverie harp.
Is that the one with the golden tree on the inside?
Yeah.
That's so pretty. I love that.
It's really accessible to everyone as well. There's not anyone that doesn't, I guess, like that. The harp.
Yeah. I love that you use that word accessible. And I think that's a really big part of what I'd like to get across to people everywhere, is that sound is accessible to everyone in some form. And it is something that we can all find some resonance with. Do you think that sound can be for everyone? Is there anyone in particular that it's for? Like who benefits from sound and music?
Gosh, good question. It depends. I think it can benefit anyone and everyone. And what I'm noticing, and this is what we learned, this is what I remember on our sound healing course with Jonathan about there's a scale of things. There's like the more musicality end of, and you know, entertainment and performance type sounds versus the, I guess, healing therapeutic sounds. Mm. And I'm noticing, I mean, there's been an explosion of sound baths and sound journeys and sound, all these experiences have really ramped up around a globe. It's just really beautiful to see. And there seems to be a lot of offerings in that range of, you know, energy healers, musicians like yourself, that you're, you know, you're musically trained. So you have that musicality. Some people are like the pure crystal bowls and tones, and I think it's just making it more accessible for a wider range of people. You don't have to, you know, and it's going to be a cup of tea for whoever the practitioner is as well. That's like, I know some people, like, they love someone that plays the gongs, and they may not like my style because, you know, I've played different instruments and use my voice. There may be others that like the didgeridoo, you know, there's like so many different styles. And I think it's really accessible for maybe the feel and the mood of the of where the person's at. Like, I want to go tribal, I want to go to kind of deep, more shamanic type journeying, or I want to have more angelic tones, or I want to go to someone that has a bit of both. So it's really interesting. I think it's really accessible to everyone. And now with, like, obviously having people more online, they're listening to meditation tracks online, which I think is great. Now you can get a good quality recordings now through, you know, the instruments we use as well. And that's making it more accessible. It's not the same as live, but but you can still feel the benefits of it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And we're really fortunate here in Australia, and you in New Zealand as well. We still have the ability to do, you know, plenty of live events, even though they're slightly different with less people. But, you know, I think for us, there's not big changes, but a lot of people, in Europe and America, you know, they've been locked down for the good part of a year. And I think that's been, in one way, the best thing to come out of that, or one good thing to come out of it, is, people spending time recording all these beautiful sound baths and live sound baths that you can go now online, and it's incredible. Absolutely. I'd love to chat a bit more about study and learning, and it sounds like, you know, you've already talked about some of the way that you came to sound and that learning through the voice work with, was it Amanda?
Yeah, Amanda Ken. She was an opera singer. And then she started working with combine that with working with her and the angelic team.
Beautiful.
And so my first experience of a sound bath was with her. And she would just use, well, say just use her, she would walk around with the Koshi chimes and sing, and we're all there wrapped up in our sleeping bags on the floor, and it was like, whoa. And she spoke the light language. And when I heard it, I cried.
Yes.
I was like, what is this?
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering also about your experience of the course where I met you, which was 10 days in Colorado with Jonathan Goldman, Andy Goldman, and a whole lot of other amazing people. Yeah. So, tell me about your experience of going to the Healing Sounds Intensive.
Oh, it was amazing. Amazing 10 days. And interesting enough, it's, you know, his name was, it's one of those things where his name was mentioned quite a lot of times and it was like, okay, I'll get to it when blah, blah, blah. And by then I'd been to different people in terms of voice work. So I went to just to kind of, I guess, acknowledge those people as well.
Yeah,
like I went to Nikki Slade, all these in London, like Nikki Slade, she did, again, The Power of the Voice. She did a lot of Kirtan. Chloe Goodchild, who's another,
yes,
she's an amazing woman. And Stuart Pierce, who works, again, Alchemy of the Voice, who also works with angels. There's always a bit, there's almost like a psychedelic side to these people. So I never went to a traditional singing tutor.
Oh,
and then
that.
sound was kind of like the buzzword kind of thing. And then I got to a point where I was like, oh, I really would like to learn more technical side of sound healing.
Yeah.
Thinking Jonathan Goldman, that would be the perfect course.
Yeah.
And of course, it was not really like that at all. It was, for me, it felt like a lot of experience, a lot of chanting, and it was just amazing because we were just immersed in the chanting and the experience and just allowing ourselves to get really deep into that and the connection. And it was totally not what I thought, because I was thinking, so are you going to tell us, I think there was maybe 10% technical and it's like, here's the manual, you can read it.
Yeah.
and it was like, oh, and it just blew me away where also Jonathan, because I thought he was kind of very science, and he does, he's come from a sciencey background and study and stuff. And I was quite blown away when he kind of said, and I channel through this being called Shamai. I was like, what?
That's right. Shamayel, the angel of sacred sound.
Yeah, that's it.
I remember that. That was amazing.
So I had, before, like when I arrived, because I got a day there a day before.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get over the jet lag coming from New Zealand all the way to Colorado. I kind of laid on that labyrinth that was there on the site. And I just laid back and I saw for the first time, like emblazoned on the back of my eyelids was the Sri Yantra symbol.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa, that was quite vivid.
Wow.
And I'd never, you know, there's visualization, but there's like, wow, this is so in my face. It's like, we haven't even started. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it for the, and I think one of the faculty members said it about, it was about us connecting to each other.
Mm.
I had such an amazing experience, especially with the toning. I just enjoyed it being immersed in the toning. And we had like that day of, I think 12 hours of toning together. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite part of the whole experience.
Gosh, we were put into, I think, three groups, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Three groups.
Yeah.
We're doing shifts, an hour shift each of
turning
on the vowels.
Yes.
I think the night before we had a prep where we set up the room, and I think it was Jim Albany who guided us with the setup of the room.
Yeah.
The layout of the room was, I think it was in corn, and there was like a laid out of Vesica Pisces shape.
Yeah.
Two circles overlapping.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, that's right.
And we would have the option to tone in either section of that or outside. And outside of that Vesica Pisces were the platonic solids in terms of big structures that were just frames that we could sit in. So if it was a cube or a pyramid, and I can't remember the other shapes that that we could sit. If we weren't toning, we could just hang around. But yeah, no talking. We had the option to fast that day.
That's right. And if it wasn't your turn to tone, you could lay down or you could go outside in silence and then come back when it was your turn to tone again.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was incredible, wasn't it? I'd love to do something like that again.
Yeah.
Since then, have you kept attending these kind of courses, or is it now more that you're offering that to the community where you are?
I think that event inspired me to, it was kind of like saying, just get on with it in terms of offering.
Yeah.
And giving people the space to do that, to connect as well. I haven't attended one. I would love to, but I also get the same message, like through offering, I'm also experiencing, and through collaboration as well. So I'm kind of like buddying. I'm finding that more of a theme as well. It's just like buddying up with other people, and then you're co-creating or something new. And I have kind of continued that toning session, for example, like everywhere I go, I try and get up a toning circle, and the longest we've managed to get was 20 minutes, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, an hour. Yeah. Like, but then everyone, you know, it's quite, and I get this interesting because not everyone wants to go there yet. Mm. And I don't know how it is in other parts of the world, but yeah, there's a few shy people still. And I forget that was my journey too. I was the shy, quiet one.
Oh, tell me about all of your offerings. I've had a look on your website, and I've been listening to your beautiful Sonic Tonics on Bandcamp as well, leading up to interview, and they're really wonderful. I've been just enjoying them so much. So yeah, tell me about everything you're offering at the moment.
Wow. It's been that has been an interesting unfoldment as well, because when I moved to New Zealand 6 years ago, I was thinking, yeah, I'll do these voice classes like Amanda.
yeah
and then that was one offering, and then realized that people were quite shy, and then I started creating sound baths. So sound baths became a thing, because people were like, who are you? I'm not coming to your voice class. So sound baths is the thing I offer.
Yeah.
And then the people at the sound bath said, oh, do you have any recordings? And that's why I started recording.
Okay. Yeah.
And then created Sonic Tonics. Yeah. So I created two albums. So that's on Bandcamp and Spotify, etc. I'm also on Insight Timer, which is a meditation app. Because again, someone going, oh, do you have any guided meditation?
Yeah.
And I started doing guided meditation on top of the sound stuff. So I created like two albums that were mainly instruments. And then everyone went, where's your voice? We like your voice.
Yeah.
So I did another EP, just my voice EP. So that was quite an indulgent experiment, where the EP was called Voices Between Worlds, where I just, every single thing is my voice. So from the background to the chanting to the melodies and the interesting instrument sounding are all my voice. So that was a indulgent thing. So yeah, albums, online voice classes, voice retreats, sound baths is an accessible forum.
What kind of people come to your sound baths? I'm always interested to know. At our sound baths, we get all sorts of people, from people that are way out there and real hippies to, you know, doctors and physios and all sorts of people.
I guess mainly I've been doing them at the yoga studios, who get the yogis.
Yes.
But then they're telling me now they're not going to the yoga, that they're new. And so they've been hearing about sound healing. So they'll be quite young, curious to try everything type of thing.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the straight, like, you know, their partners drag them to the thing. So they'll be like the husbands or the partners or that, and then they're kind of blown away, which is quite interesting. I've had like one-on-one, the most, I guess, different is an ex-dairy farmer who came for one-on-one sessions, and he wanted tuning fork sessions because he heard about sound and he didn't want to go down the hip replacement route. So that was quite interesting. More and more office workers, I'd say, more and more that are curious. They may have tried meditation and it's not quite working. A lot of curious people now, that's from any background.
Yeah.
Like you said, from the office farmers.
Yeah. That's it, isn't it? And it really is for everyone. You know, there's something about it that anyone can kind of just drop into that space. And I think as well, you know, for people that don't meditate or find meditation difficult or even irritating, going to a sound bath or listening to a sound meditation, or, you know, even making sound themselves, you know, it's sort of like that shortcut to the space you can get to in meditation.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a lot of people comment who said that, oh, when they've tried meditation, they find it really difficult. And then when they experience a sound bath, they're like, oh, wow, I was able to go somewhere else quite easily, or I was able to calm be calmer. Basically, it was a noticeable shift for them both, for them in the sound bath, and they just felt safe. I think the act, and I get that, and I forget that as well, that even the act of lying down on the floor is because you're quite, you know, it can feel like you're quite exposed. Can seem like a big deal, but if you're going with a friend, or you know that you're not, you don't have to do anything, and that's it. You don't have to perform. You're there lying and you're allowing yourself to receive, which is the beauty of it. And you don't have to think. You don't have to do anything. You just get to relax. Yeah. And they're like, "Yep, it's accessible. I can do this."
Yeah. How do you work with someone with a one-on-one treatment? What happens during those treatments?
With one-on-one. Because I do the energy stuff as well, not just the sound. I forgot to say that. Yeah. Okay. Only the sound stuff. I still do the energy.
Yes.
Work. Just we have a wee chat beforehand.
Yeah.
And just see what's happening for the person. Yeah. And it's like a client intake form. Yeah. We just kind of go through what's happening for you. Is it a specific issue, or is it just curious, or you know, that kind of stuff. And I often give the client a tool, and that's like a light or heavy tool, and it's then using their empowering them to kind of choose how they would like to shape the session. So if it's sounds, it's like, oh, that, you know, what sounds do you like? Is there any sounds you don't like? And we'll just go through that list. Like, is there anything you're drawn to? So I'll shape the session using the mixture of the energy, chat, and the sound to shape the session. Sometimes it's just pure sound, sometimes a little bit of chat to like, it's like facilitating. And mainly the aim of all of these, it's just facilitating for that space for the person to connect to their knowing and awareness of their choices and what it's creating. And so they just get to have a space to have a look of like, oh, what's really going on there? Oh, hang on, I have this interesting pattern I've picked up, or whatever. And it could be very internal, or it could be very chatty with me. And then we'll have the closing, and then just any chat and then afterwards, and just how they're feeling and stuff. So it's like that intro, middle, meaty part, which has a combination of things, and then making sure they have the tools to kind of be able to ask questions to get their own awareness, and empowering them to connect back to themselves, to go, they do know what's happening for them. And it's just giving that the tools and all the guidance to go, you're doing all right.
Oh, and you mentioned tuning forks a part of those sessions. How did you come to work with tuning forks? Tell us a bit about those.
Tuning forks. That's the first time I came across them in terms of a therapeutic sense was through the Jonathan Goldman intensive. And he had a couple, he had quite a few.
There I we bought some too.
I forgot about that. And we had this lab, we called it lab work. We were in a group of three, and we tried out different things. I think the ones we tried were C and G, which is like the perfect fifth. And you'd have these two tuning forks, and we would, I guess, have them on either side of the head. Was one method. But in lab time, we got to experiment with like, oh, how does it feel in different parts of the body? So that was my first intro to it. And so I was quite fascinated. And there was another lady, Karen Jones, on the course where we had another modality called Access Consciousness that we were using, combining and just playing to see like, ooh. And that's how I am. I'm like, let's explore and play and see what else this can do. And so we're applying it in different ways. So the tuning forks thing developed, and she recommended some books. The lady called Eileen McCusick, who does the biofield tuning. She's got her own modality and system. So I found that really fascinating. So she had some guidance on going through the energy field and being able to pick things up, and that method, and then using my other tools like Access Consciousness of asking questions. It was amazing. It was like this it's like Doctor Who's pen thing. You just go through the field and like, wow, there's a noticeable sound difference. Like it would either stop or be clearer, or there'd be some difference.
Yep.
And you're like, whoa. And then you know, the more you work with clients, the more I guess your intuition and you kind of, you know, then I guess going back to the asking questions to the clients, like, oh, I started seeing numbers of ages and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And just different information would come up when I was dragging the tuning fork through the field. And so Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's, hold on to these things energetically. And it can be, and it's funny, I keep using the words, like the different words that we have in our vocabulary about, we're really impressionable.
Yeah.
And whatever past trauma or someone said something, it may have just have a holding in our energy field.
Yeah.
And that can impact us physically. So it's some innocent person, someone might have just said an innocent word of like, oh, you know, oh, don't be so stupid.
Yeah.
But you may have held on to that going, oh, what? You're calling me stupid? And it's just been this stuckness that's then maybe impacted in our adult life to not speak up. I better not say that again because people might think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
That one comment may have been like, oh, quite a thing. But when you unlock that holding.
Yes.
That belief will have dissipated. And then when someone else says it again, it doesn't stick. It doesn't trigger. And I guess that's like, it doesn't have such an impact anymore.
Yeah. I actually love getting the tuning forks and I like to give them a little tap and then just resonate them onto my chest or just on the, just sort of just below my throat chakra. And that's sort of the top of the, a breastbone, I guess it is, just in between the collarbones.
Do you use much on in your sound baths or one-on-one sessions?
Only really on one-on-ones, yeah. And I do the same often. I think I use them either side of the ears, and I've got the C and G as well. I've got two C's and a G. So yeah, one each side of the ear, and that just seems to really. It just drops people right into that beautiful still space. They just drop straight in. And yeah, I do occasionally also just wave them through people's energy field, like a clearing, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's just a small part of a treatment that I use them for. But I just love playing with them myself. I find them very, for personal healing, I think they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have a saying, and what I believe is that the voice, the human voice, is the most healing instrument of all. And, you know, we've got a gazillion singing bowls and other instruments in this house. And I can take them out and do sound baths, but I really feel like that the most healing thing for most people is using their own voice, because I think we have this instrument inside each of us that's perfectly tuned to our own frequency. And I just really strongly believe that. What do you think about that?
I agree. I mean, that's how I guess I started my journey, and it was through my voice that I felt a lot of healing for myself. And you're right, it's like we all have this instrument for free. And but the thing is that whether we voice something in the world or not, I feel like we're still saying something. Or we hold back or we hold it in, but it still has this frequency broadcasting out. So if we get to use it and play with it and explore with it can be very profound. Like I really found it, for me personally, it helped me express things I couldn't put into words. Like I've always been this stumbling over my words a little bit, and it's like, but actually now I'm giving myself permission to not be perfect with that, and it's like sounds really good because I'll just go blah, 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 blah. Oh, what I meant was blah, blah, blah. And it's just these trills or sounds are really relieving and healing for me because it's energy that's not getting stuck in my body. And I've used sound as a way to express quite maybe deep emotions that I didn't have words for yet. And so yeah, it's been huge. And when the people in my class And that's what I love about it. You can see their eyes light up when they think I can't sing or all these different points of view and judgments. It's like, but when they're doing what they're doing and they allow the sounds to come out, and it doesn't matter whatever goes, they're just like, wow. And they're kind of like, am I really doing this? And there's just kind of liberation and, you know, the finally letting go of whatever it was they were holding on to. And they didn't need to analyze it. They didn't need to analyze it anymore. Like, what was that? Or it was just like, oh, I just made the sound.
Yeah. Have you also found in this kind of work with working with groups with the voice that people who come from that, you know, they come in saying, oh, I can't sing, and then they do this work with you, do you find that later on some of them do actually sing or feel more that like they can sing?
I haven't followed up with everyone about that question, but I have been told, like, there was one I was thinking of it that was in the choir. She said she was able to expand her vocal range.
Oh.
And there's another lady who's gone on to singing, like, she's now touring the New Zealand as a result of, I guess, allowing herself to play with the voice, because she had so many points of view about structure, pitch, all these techniques. So the techniques were actually, she was stumbling over the perfection of being the technique rather than allowing herself to express in the moment. So yeah, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've had someone that they felt really confident. It's more like confidence and being able to present and stand. And that's why I say, like, the voice is not just the singing, but it's even though that may be the outcome, it's more about I feel safe to be seen and say whatever I want to say, however I want to say it in front of whoever. So yeah, that kind of feedback is what I get.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? I was interested to know if there's a favorite event that you've been part of, either that you've attended or as a facilitator, that you've found profoundly healing, either for yourself or other people participating.
Golly. I'll just share the one that came to mind. I'll share two. One, the first one that came to mind was actually attending a gig when I was at university in the UK. And I don't know if you know of the band, The Prodigy.
Oh, yeah.
It was back in the 90s.
Yep, definitely.
And that was, I think it was like my first year, maybe, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, it was during when I was at university. And it was really cool because the university managed to get some, obviously, The Prodigy into our students' union, which was quite amazing.
Wow.
Cool. And it was the first time that I felt a natural high. As you do when you're younger, you experiment with alcohol and extra things. But it was the first time I felt this natural high in my body, because I danced so much and had so much fun with my friends and we were singing along, whatever. And it was just this, wow, euphoric feeling that I'd never felt before.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, it's possible that we do have this natural high within us that we can access without substances.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. So that was a memorable one. That's interesting when you phrase the question. It's like, oh, that's what came to mind.
Yeah, that's cool, because I love that it doesn't have to be specifically therapeutic sound or music that's, you know, created for, you know, aiming for this result of relaxation or wellness. And for people that aren't interested in sound healing or sort of therapeutic music as healing, any different style of music might be the thing that does it for them.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought I'd
offer that, because it's like, because it was not spiritual, you know, in that sense, but it's accessible.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the message, right? It's accessible. This euphoric high is accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
And then the other example, it was very early on in New Zealand when I was trying out facilitating different voice classes, and I was lucky to be volunteering at this retreat center. And so it was like, I was able to experiment on the guests that were there during Christmas time. But it was quite, for me, that was a personal high, because it was a, exploring my boundaries of facilitating, going, these are people that are trusting me in their care, and I'm just going, do this. But there was a moment they were just really all in the zone, and we were playing and with elements, as in, what would air sound like, or what would fire sound like? And yeah. I think it might have been air that we're like kind of all doing our air sounds. And there's birds, the sound of birds just really ramped up, and this gush of wind just came through the hall. And we all stopped because it was like, whoa. So that was quite memorable because everyone was very in tune with each other. Everyone was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll do it anyway. I'm going to make the pretend to making these. But because everyone allowed themselves to play and just make whatever sound, we were all actually cohesively sounding amazing, even though we were all doing our own thing. And that gush of wind, it was just like, wow. And it felt really supported by all the elements and nature around. So that was quite memorable.
Yeah, I love that. It's the connection with nature and the elements. And it also outlines to me how when we work together as a group with sound, you know, it's different to working just on our own or one-on-one, isn't it?
Totally. I love working in groups.
Yeah. Yeah, something, it's like a bit primal, sort of like we're meant to be communal beings and connective.
Yeah. And we can all do it. And that's the thing. I was like, I started off with for example, the toning, where you're like, okay, tone for this long, and when you hear the bells, you'll stop, right? And it was like ding, and then we're like, oh, I was just getting into it. And then, and then now I've gone like, and then you'll all naturally stop, know when to stop.
Yes.
And then ever since then, like, I've just allowed it to naturally stop, and everyone knew would stop at the same time because where they started, like, we're being a group mind.
Yes.
And that I always feel really magical, because it's like, from the newbie who's totally new to it to the seasoned toner, they're like, they just knew when to stop. Mm. And that, I find that beautiful. And then the faces afterwards going, we all just stopped at the same time.
Yeah, that's incredible. I've had that experience a lot too, where you'll just be in circle with people, you know, a bunch of people, might be just a few or it might be quite a lot, and you just let those sounds naturally come out. They could be whatever sounds, you know, each person wants to make. And then, yeah, exactly like you just said, they somehow all just close off in this beautiful, like, fade out. And then what about what happens after that, the silence? Can you speak to that a little?
The space between, or is it, who's that musician that says it's not what you play, it's what you don't play?
Yeah.
I can't remember who said that. And but yeah, that I learned that quite a lot more on Jonathan's course about the silence in between the sounds. It's so profound. It just feels more noticeable after we've done the toning, and then this beautiful, gorgeous kind of still state afterward that's created. It's amazing, and you don't want to I don't want to ever break that, but I guess when you're on the workshop, it's practical. It's like, okay, now. But it's so amazing, such amazing feeling, and a good way for that meditative state. So the sounding and that stillness is very accessible when you work with sound, I feel.
Yeah,
what about you?
Yeah, I definitely love the space and the silence at the end of toning or chanting or even just playing a beautiful song, and then just taking a moment at the end to feeling the space. And I always find that being in that space again with groups is just so lovely.
Yeah,
being in the group energy of silence, because it's not something that we do really, you know, naturally enough, in my opinion, in our busy society.
No, absolutely. I was just talking to a friend last night about that, about how my family always has the television in the background or some music in the background, and I find it quite peculiar now to have anything on, like, for especially when we're sharing dinner, there's it's like, and it's like, oh, and there's a TV on and it's news. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's been such a long way. Like, that used to be what I used to do, but it's like, now it's like, I find that really distracting.
Yeah. It's nice to eat in peace. So do you have a personal practice that you feel helps you stay well mentally or physically or both? And it doesn't necessarily have to be sound related, but it might be. What do you do?
Yeah, I tend to combine like the different outfits. You try something for a while and then try something else. But there's always some form of practice, and that can look like the good old meditation, sitting with self, and just observing, becoming the observer of one's thoughts. I went through a phase, especially my early vocal explorations, I used to dedicate an hour, a good hour, just sounding any sound that wants to come out of my mouth. And I found that really a really good way to set up my day, because it's almost like the excess energy that wanted to be shared and aired, but to no person. And then I would feel really good. And I would do journaling. That's another way of a practice I would do, like journaling my thoughts down. But there's some practice of, I guess, that excess energy clutter that needs to be released in some way. So I cycle around through that. So at the moment, meditation. But there was a good time where I was just doing things like the chakra based, going back to something basics, but it's kind of like going through a system, going through a framework of toning, has been quite nice as well.
Yeah. Is that something that you learned through the Jonathan Goldman stuff, or did you learn that through some of your other teachers as well?
Yeah, through my other teacher, through my Reiki master, actually. He introduced me to even the idea of that they were this system to chant to, and not only that, but there were different systems. So Jonathan Goldman's one was quite interesting, because I was like, oh, that's another different one. And it was just nice to be able to try different systems and see how the body responded.
I did a little of that this morning, actually, first thing before my yoga practice, and I hadn't done it for ages, but it feels so good toning the chakras. It's really nice.
And do you normally go like from the root up, or do you try different?
I did the Vedic sounds, starting from the base chakra: Lam, Vam, Ram, Yam, Ham, Sham, Om.
Nice.
Yeah. Which one do you use or have a resonance with?
I've used that one in the early one, and I've been, I guess, since Jonathan's one, I've been using more his. I guess it's interesting because he's got the consonant at the end, but with Jonathan's one, it's the vowel sounding open mouth, which is quite interesting. It feels very different. Whereas the the closed humming, I guess, mouth is very different to the open. So that's very interesting. And I had a student said that she was trying from crown to bass, and for her that really helped be present for her. And it was like, oh, that's interesting. And it's nice to just play around with different methods.
Definitely. Yeah, I think for someone who needs to be really grounded, they could start at the crown and tone the chakras down to the base, finish at the base. A bit more grounding.
And you've got your chakras on your...
That's right. Yeah, they're always around reminding me. Yeah. So I was wondering, do you have a practice that you could share with our listeners, something that they could do to bring sound into their lives?
Gosh, yeah. I'd say the simple one, because I mentioned this before, is humming. And I get this, if there's lots of newbies listening or watching, it's like, I'm not going to make those sounds in my flat, whatever, apartment, house. Yeah. There's other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So humming is a really simple excessive, yeah. Accessible. It could be excessive as well with it. Accessible way to introduce sounds, but not only that, but the sensation it could create with your body, and you can play around with it in terms of where you hum.
Okay.
And it's literally that. So you can find yourself in a comfortable seating position and just take a few moments just to kind of become aware of your body and your breath. Just noticing where you're breathing. And if you can take your breath down to your belly, making your belly rise and fall. And then your next breath in, just make a gentle hum out. So it's breathing in. So you can continue doing that breath in and humming out. And even if you keep up this practice for like as little as 5 minutes, can make a noticeable difference in your body and being. We'll do that again together. Michelle, so take a deep breath in, breathing in lightness. And breath out with a hum. Really easy. So you can also imagine there's a mouth on your belly as another way to breathe in and hum out. It's kind of interesting for those that are visual. And then just start, you know, the more you get into it, you're going, oh, I can really feel it in my nasal cavity or my mouth or whatever. And just notice where you can feel the sensations in your body. And then the other thing is that you can try and push or throw the sound like up your nose or in front of your mouth or near the back of your throat. And it's just like, oh, then you can start noticing how you are able to control where you can hum. And then you can start playing around just by even putting your attention to different parts of the body, like, oh, my heart or my belly or the top of my head. And it's just that noticing what you notice. It's the practice of the humming is doing what it's doing. And then also your awareness is then brought back to your presence and yourself.
Yeah. I'd really noticed that just then. Even just from doing a couple of hums, even just the long deep breath actually at the start, it's very centering. Yeah. Very centering. Well, thank you for sharing that. I definitely encourage everyone to play around with that and take some time to do that beautiful exercise, humming and breathing. Oh, lovely, Yule. So Yule, we've nearly come to the end of our time together, and I just want to make sure that everyone knows where they can access all of your beautiful offerings. And all of those will be in the show notes for this episode. But maybe for those who are just listening on the fly, you could just give us your website and any of the other places where people should go to find out, well, to find your gorgeous offerings.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, people can find me on yileylau.com, which is yileylau.com. I'm on the usual suspects, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. But for the audios and recordings, you can Spotify, again, my name. I'm also on Bandcamp and the meditation app, which is Insight Timer. Which has slightly different offerings to those on Spotify. for those that like to meditate to the soundtracks I've got. So yeah, that's mainly it.
Beautiful. Yeah, definitely recommend you guys check out Yile's. Well, I've been loving the Bandcamp. And what I love about Bandcamp is, you know, it gives people the opportunity to support artists like yourself that are creating these beautiful sounds for people to listen to. And you can listen for free, I think, a few times on Bandcamp, but it gives you the opportunity to pay artists, you know, a nice fee for their offerings. And of course, Spotify is great for people to access. It doesn't really pay artists much, but it's still great that they can, you know, anyone can listen there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I love the Bandcamp. Go to the Bandcamp.
I forgot to mention actually on the Bandcamp version, there is a soundtrack that if you do like the chakra toning thing, I've made it a recording that it's generic enough that you could use any chakra based chanting and you can chant along with me with your chosen thing. So whether it's the one you've just mentioned or the Jonathan Goldman one,
yeah,
or your own made one, and it's like it repeats 7 chants each time. Oh. So you could like listen to that as well as chant along with it.
Track called?
Good question. Blessing of the Energy Centers.
Oh, awesome. That sounds so good. I'm definitely going to be doing that this week. Oh, lovely. Wow. Well, it's been amazing to catch up with you and hear about all your offerings and, yeah, hear your insight on some of these topics, like how wonderful it is using the voice as a healing tool.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you, Yile, and take care.
You've been listening to the Shanti Sound podcast. You can access all of the show notes at shantisound.com.au/podcast. I would love you to subscribe, like, comment, or leave a review wherever you're listening. And connect with me on Instagram at shanti_sound and Facebook at Shanti Sound Australia. The music and sounds featured in the intro and outro are excerpts from the Shanti Sound Soundbath CD, recorded and produced by Michelle and James Byrne. You can download this and other music by Michelle and James Byrne at shantisound.com.au/music. Remember, sound brings healing and presence. The truest and sweetest sound comes from within. So hum, sing and create sound whenever you can. Thanks for listening. I look forward to sharing with you again soon.